Friends, you're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast, with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Oh, Maysoon.
We.
I think when this episode comes out,
yep,
it's going to be our four-year anniversary of the show.
Wait, really? Oh my God. We like went to undergrad together, it feels like.
Yep, we could have gotten another bachelor's degree in this time, and I feel like we did. Well, no, I'm wrong, Maysoon. Our first episode came out on June 15th, 2014.
I feel like I should bring you a dessert or sing you a song. I'll prepare a song for you for next week.
For next week, I want every listener to send in some listener feedback.
Oh,
I don't want it to say congratulations.
Come on, what if they can say that too?
Okay.
It's kind of sweet.
Whatever. But I want questions, solid questions, and then the whole next year we'll just answer all those questions.
Yes, that's the best. Do we have access to our listeners? I mean, do we know who they are? Can we get their names and email each and every one of them individually and say, hey?
No, Maysoon, because we don't collect people's data because we're not Fuckerberg. Okay, anyhow, Maysoon, we did get one question from a listener.
Oh, great.
Okay, here's a question from a listener. What are your thoughts on Ragnar Kjartansson?
Mm.
And can you please tell me how to pronounce his name right? I think I just did. Did I, Maysoon? You were working at SF MoMA
when he had that piece.
Soundscape show came up, right?
I'm trying to remember how people said it.
At the center of which is Ragnar Kjartansson, a slightly wide-eyed innocent.
So what are your thoughts on him? This is funny because I feel like every time we've brought him up, you've gone on a diatribe that I've cut out every time.
Oh, really? You've cut it out?
I don't know if I cut...
I don't totally dislike him. I just didn't like that. I didn't love that piece.
Uh-huh.
I have not seen the piece yet that he... Didn't he just open?
Wasn't that a whole show at the McAvoy Foundation?
Yeah, so I didn't go to their opening on Saturday, but I am looking forward to seeing it. And is that the piece that he's done in collaboration with the Women's Building or with the Women's Building as a site location? I think that's the same thing.
Okay, so he has a show that's going to be up until September 1st over there at the McAvoy Foundation.
Over by Minnesota Street Projects.
Yeah, it's part of MSP, but in the upper annex, which is up the street a tiny ways.
Kind of by Altman Siegel, yeah.
It's literally less than a 1 minute walk. So the show is called Scenes from Western Culture, and it's an homage to the French Rococo painter Jean-Antoine Watteau. You know how I feel about Rococo. Absolute most hated art movement. I cannot stand it. I hate the Rococo.
Aw. I'm excited to check it out. I know. I don't know what's going on over here.
Well, that regardless of the Rococo connection, the Rococo-nection, it's a 9-screen installation of looping videos, each depicting a faintly absurd and occasionally ominous vision of Western daily life. Drawing inspiration from Watteau's pastoral scenes of 18th century aristocrats enjoying their leisure.
Is this like a harsh critique or what?
This sounds interesting to me. Full disclosure, I liked that installation at SF MoMA.
Yeah.
Although the second time I saw it.
I liked the installation. I just didn't love the piece.
The first time I saw it, I was coming right when it was really like hitting that. Like
crescendo,
yeah, when it was
everyone
like
everyone was going,
yes,
it was like full force,
yeah,
the and then towards the end.
The second time I saw it, I came right at the beginning,
oh,
when
yeah,
everyone's like setting up,
mm-hmm,
and then it kind of kicks off. And I don't know why the second time I was like, man, what did I love about this so much? The second mm-hmm time, it didn't cast its spell yeah on me, you know,
it felt like something I would have loved when I was in college, but that's also because of I went to school out there where he was recording.
Oh, was it in upstate New York?
It was upstate New York. It was one of the old mansions up there that are kind of in like a disrepair, and the family members can't afford to keep it up because it's a fucking old mansion in upstate New York, and it's totally unaffordable to keep things up like that up.
It was very indie rock.
Yeah. It reminded me 100% of Bard, my Bard experience.
Yeah.
And it was just like so like white and woo-woo and just
yeah,
like
even though not all the musicians.
And,
it wasn't emo. Nobody was like had a lip piercing.
I don't know. It felt like that to me.
But and all the musicians weren't white. I think there might have been one or two musicians of color. But it did feel very white, especially him in the bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So I don't know. But this work at the McAvoy Foundation sounds very interesting. I'm excited to go see it. It's up till September 1st. So I guess the jury's still out for us on what's going on with...
So wait, that work is he's not doing with the Women's Building, because he's then doing another project with the Performance Art Institute at the Women's Building, or using the Women's Building as a location.
Okay, here's the article about it in the Chronicle. Yeah, that's going to be in November. So from November 9th to 11th, he made an experience at the Women's Building in the Mission District.
And working with the staff?
But there? I believe it is Carla Emil, whose collection is the basis of the SF MoMA exhibition Selves and Others.
Okay.
That was with Janine Antoni and... Cindy Sherman and Carrie Mae Weems have this basically mainly photo portrait show over there.
Is it up right now?
Yeah, it's good. She founded C Project, which is a foundation that describes itself as dedicated to bringing original performance-based art experiences to San Francisco.
Yeah.
So one of their first things is this thing at the Women's Building. Right. And they're turning that space for a bit into a performance space. And he's the first motherfucker to go in there.
And do they specify if he's working with the staff there or some of the groups that use the Women's Building? I can't remember. I feel like there was some kind of reason why he was at the Women's Building, why the Women's Building.
Okay, Maysoon, I'm reading this article and I don't get it. I don't know if he's collaborating with anyone. It sounds like this woman who started the foundation took him to a bunch of different places in San Francisco and he chose the Women's Building as the place to do the thing. And the fucking title of the work...
I have some concerns with that.
Okay, And the title of his work is Romantic Songs of the Patriarchy. And so I don't...
So these must be... I mean, is anyone talking about the conceptual underpinning
in here, and
because it sounds like he's talking about the Baroque and the Western world, right? In that one
Rococo,
the Rococo
is covering a lot of old time stuff,
right? So it's like I can't tell
the Baroque. That's why I hate the Rococo so much.
But it sounds like there some kind of critical lens towards these two very Western, predominantly white perspectives he's highlighting.
Well, we got to go see it. I honestly don't know what the hell's going on with this.
Okay, listeners, if you know what the hell's going on, write in.
Speaking of problematic shit, I have to do some redactions and retractions over the last episode.
Wait, did we even answer the listener's question? Did we
wanted to know what we think of this guy and how to say his name. So I think we covered it. Okay, point is, Maysoon. Man, I kind of went to bat for Di-Fi last week. Not to vote for her, but just to say, let's not shit on her totally.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to shit on her.
Oh, now why?
Now
tell
I just heard
more.
This whole story about how Di-Fi back in 1984 was about to quit being mayor. She had done her two terms or whatever as mayor of San Francisco after, Moscone and Harvey Milk were murdered and she became mayor. She wanted to get on the ticket of Walter Mondale, who was running against Reagan, to be the damn VP pick. Sure enough, she's trying to get in with the Southern Democrats because she's a motherfucking California liberal hippie, right? And so she tried to raise a fucking Confederate flag in front of in Civic Center.
Yeah.
And this badass communist dude
named
Richie Bradley scaled the flagpole and tore down the flag.
Holy fucking shit.
Yeah, dude. Then she tried to put it up again two more times. Isn't that nuts? And again, every time she put it up, and I mean, it's the 80s, but still the civil rights movement is fresh on people's mind. Fuck.
Yeah.
And my fucking God. And anyhow, at one point, somebody got the Confederate flag down, put up the Union flag, which is the side California was on in the fucking war, the Civil War. And she had them take it down and shred it. Okay, this is all according to a podcast.
Shred it.
Uh-huh. So anyhow, point is, I take everything back that I said good about Di-Fi.
You hate her now?
She sucks.
She won.
Well, she got in, but Kevin DeLeon, Democrat, got in the top two, hopefully. Okay, so we're recording this on Wednesday. Let's do our post-election breakdown.
Yeah, post-election.
Which we almost never do our post-election breakdown. But it's still, the election's not over.
The election's not over. I'm like, I've been stressed. I've been like online all day following, trying to follow the news on who the hell SF San Francisco's new mayor is going to be. Right now, it's a neck and neck tie between Mark Leno and London Breed, with Mark Leno in the lead, supposedly by only like 1,100 votes.
Razor thin margin.
Razor thin. It's fucking stressful as hell. There were supposedly 90,000 mail-in ballots that they have to count right now. And I don't, honestly don't trust San Francisco government and politics to not do some fucking shady shit.
Some fuckery?
Yeah, in the next couple of days. I feel like that's plenty of time to fuck around.
Damn, Mason.
I feel pretty worried about it.
Do we need to get in there?
I mean, I guess I could go like sit outside the elections in protest. Probably I can't, but.
I have a feeling it's going to work out. But that's what I said.
Don't say that out loud. Please don't say that out loud. Oh, my God.
Knock on wood. Hopefully it's going to work out. One, I'm still biting my nails over because we had all these mail-in ballots and because a lot of young people vote that way and then they wait till the last second to get their mail-in ballot in there.
But a lot of old people vote that way, too, but they do it really early. So that's already been counted.
But point is, we got a ton of votes still yet to be counted. And in California District 10, which if you've been following all the like swing left stuff and all the swing districts, there was a moment where it might be two Republicans got the top two on that. So there's no chance to swing it because you can't even do a write-in on these top two pick motherfucker primary things.
Wait, what was the office?
California District 10 House of Representatives, okay. Congress member.
Yeah.
So point is, it is working out now where there is a Democrat has gotten into the second position.
Yeah.
And it's looking really good because there was a whole slew of Democrats below that. So they had just split the vote a million different ways. But that's good news for when the general election comes for that seat. It's looking like a Democrat's got a good shot of taking out Jeff Dunham, who's the Congress member from there right now.
I kept hearing that the Democrats were like just rolling deep still.
Yeah, it's going good.
It went really well.
See, everyone's like, Democrats are breathing a sigh of relief, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, I didn't even know it was going to be that close.
Yeah.
So my whole tension that I needed the relief from began on election night.
Oh, my God.
Wait, when I was seeing the returns come in.
Which district was this?
California Congressional District 10. It is centered in like Stanislaus County.
Oh, okay. After every election, I'm like, why don't I fucking campaign? Because I'm like living in this bubble and refusing somehow or like having some major mental disconnect where I just think everything's going to go the way I want it to go, right? Half the time it doesn't. And I'm like,
half the time, try like 90%.
Right. Exactly. Most of the time.
Almost nobody I voted for.
This election was actually better than most elections from a San Francisco voter specific perspective, for me at least. And I was very surprised at that because usually none of my propositions pass. Usually nothing passes. I'm like, what the fuck kind of city do we live in?
Yeah.
But I'm always just like, why didn't you campaign for that? What's wrong with you? You can't just sit around.
Should we hold hands again?
Yeah, but let's. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Okay, everyone who's listening, hold hands or hold on to your iPhone or whatever you're listening to this on. And we're going to make
a pledge with us.
And on three, we're going to say we're going to get more politically active. Okay, ready? Mm-hmm. One, two, three. We're going to get
more politically active.
Break.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Okay. Got a couple other things going on. There's a show coming up at Root Division.
Oh, yeah.
And it is from June 6th to June 30th. It's called Reading Room, The Feminist Art of Self-Help. This sounds like a great show that I'm very excited about, including Lucasa Bronfman Verissimo. You got Grace Rosario Perkins.
Yeah.
You got motherfucking Nikki Green.
Oh, my
God.
You got
fucking Linda Montano.
Crazy.
What's Linda Montano doing in
That's
there?
That's awesome. Who curated that?
Allison
That's fucking awesome.
Smith. This was curated by Jean Vaccaro and Stamatina Gregory.
Oh, cool. So it was one of their open calls, probably, because those aren't. That's
or
great.
Like a proposal thing.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's what I mean.
So that's very exciting. And the reception is going to be this Saturday, June 9th. Also, there's some events going on at the Eastside Arts Alliance. One of them is the That's Not Love talent show, open to all. Aww. If you want to go do some talents, there's also going to be raffles and cash prizes. That is Friday tonight from 4:30 to 7 p.m. Doors open at 4 o'clock, and of course, they are at 2277 International Boulevard right here in Oakland, California.
Have you ever been at a talent show, Kate?
No.
Never? Not even as a child?
Nope.
Damn.
Not my thing. I was a stoner in high school. I didn't participate.
No, I mean even younger, before you got into all that
bullshit.
Oh, we didn't
have them when we were younger.
I remember when I was at, I guess in grade school, maybe it was high school. I don't have any idea now, but I won for the best air guitar performance.
That is very impressive.
Isn't that awesome? I think I probably did some headbanging because I loved doing that show when I was a kid.
Also at the Eastside Arts Alliance, there is the National Queer Arts Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Subtitle Embrace, which is Monday, June 11th at 7:30 p.m. There is going to be, Mason, brace yourself. They have an emerging artist showcase, and it's going to be a kaleidoscope of wonder, intrigue, and queer investigation.
Whoa, wow, great.
What do you think of that?
Sounds awesome.
There's also the Culture Conservancy is presenting Decolonize the Body.
That sounds cool.
That is going to be
Wednesday,
June 13th from 1 to 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting times for these events.
Wait, 1 to 5 p.m.?
Yeah. I know, right?
Is that like on a set? Oh, you said Wednesday.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Wednesday, June 13th.
Who's going to go to that?
People.
How do you get there?
You just go. And okay, cool. It's going to, they're inviting you to an afternoon with Ivan Nogales, who is a Bolivian artist, teacher, and movement leader.
Oh, I really want to go.
And he's going to lead people through the practices and theory of his work, including embodying decolonization through personal and collective liberatory exercises.
Can you go to that?
I can give it a shot. I'll put it on my calendar.
This week's been pretty exciting in the Bay Area, I think. Well, there was the voting, obviously. There's been lots of things going on. Let's be real, worldwide, but maybe in a specific local arts scenario. Bay Area Now 8 artists were announced.
Very exciting.
And there's just like a fucking, it's like a motherload.
Do you have the list?
Motherload of artists.
Sophia Cordova, Carrie Hott, Charlie Leese.
We got Josh Fott. We have Nikki Green. We have Sita Baumick.
We've got
Porpentine Heart Charity, Jamil Halu, Connie Hockey,
friend of the show.
Carrie, you said Carrie?
Yep.
I was so, for some reason, I didn't see Carrie the first time
nice.
I read it.
We said it twice.
Sahar, Charlie Leese, over there from Cloaca Projects.
Yep.
All sorts of people. There's a couple people I don't know. Like, I don't know Woody De Othello.
Yep.
Okay.
Great pick. All these are great picks.
Yeah, I'm super excited. And Hyphae Design Laboratory,
do you
know them?
Do you think that this is going to be the first good Bay Area Now? No shade to all the other artists that have been in it who have been fantastic.
No comment. We were talking today in our office about how while we love every single, maybe we shouldn't say this, love all the artists who've got selected and think they absolutely deserve it, that there's a little bit of disappointment in like the list not being, like just not, just knowing too many of the artists, like would be exciting if there was like half the list or like people we had didn't really know that much about, like that, you know, the curator really.
But you're pretty, you guys are tapped in. There shouldn't be too many people that you don't know.
Well, I think we were just talking about like way back in the day when Rene de Guzman was working at YBCA, which is way back in the day. And he'd like pop out these lists with people that like were a total,
like, who the hell is that?
And it's kind of exciting because you're like, wow, we got to discover all these people now. Or not discover, but explore. Anyhow, it's super exciting. I'm excited for all them.
Can't wait to see that show. Really excited that they're remodeling that building so it's not so much of an airport anymore.
Wait, are they? I didn't hear about that.
Just wishful thinking.
Oh, really exciting. That maybe they have some, they should start putting designers in here and they can start cutting up the space.
I think they did have some design team.
I know there's Stamen Design. I know those guys. Yeah.
Okay, Maysoon, 5/5 Collective is in residence over there at Control Shift, and they have an exhibition opening, and it's going to be June 16th to June 24th, and the opening reception is going to be Saturday, June 16th from 5 to 8. there at Control Shift. Five-fifths is a collective born from a desire to recognize, support, and make visible to the diversity of Black experiences and to encourage dialogue amongst artists which otherwise feel absent from institutional art spaces. Very excited about that show. Got a show coming up at Claghorn Gallery in Albany, California.
Oh, cool.
It's called Have You Heard Us Yet? It's something to do with the Me Too movement, apparently. And that's going to be up from June 5th to June 30th with the reception this upcoming Saturday, June 9th from 5 to 7. And guess what, Maysoon? Artist Talk Wednesday, June 20th from 5 to 7. Uh-oh, Maysoon, guess what else? Poetry Evening Wednesday, June 27th, 6:30 to 8:30.
I think I like poetry these days.
I love poetry. Always have, always will.
This will be after the podcast comes out, but there's a new show opening at SOMARTS called The History of Violence.
That's good. It's coming out after the PCAST.
Sorry, it's coming out before the PCAST.
Oh, okay.
So it'll be open. I think
that's good.
It opens on Thursday, so it's opened a couple, yesterday. The History of Violence is a multidisciplinary exploration of the social and political context of violence against and within queer communities. And there's a pretty stellar list of artists. We've got Jamil Helou, Jason Hanasek, Jaime Cortez, Zandra Ibarra. Viet Le, David Wanyarovic.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, it's in a few other folks. So
where is this?
This is at SOMARTS, and it opened yesterday. So it'll be up through, probably for at least a month. I don't have the dates right on me.
Get over
but
there.
But check that out. I think that will be really exciting and worth seeing. June 28th is when it closes. So you've got a month.
Groceries at Trader Joe's. Okay, got a show coming up called Coffee for Eight, which includes Canon Dill, Heroya Kurata,
wow,
Hillary Petches.
Yeah, you know her? Yeah, she used to live here. She lives in LA now.
Great. Jordan Kerwick, motherfucking Kellen Chosuk.
I don't know any of these people except for Hillary.
Here you go. Miriam Youssef, Nick McCona, and Sarah Tebow.
I know Sarah.
Opening June 9th from 6 to 10. That's the reception. At 1523 B Webster Street over here in Oakland, California. And that is at a new gallery or an old gallery or a gallery.
I've never been there.
Part 2 gallery. It's a brand newly opened Part 2 gallery over here in beautiful Oakland,
downtown
California.
Oakland.
So get in there. Also, another show coming up. You got The Menagerie, curated by Johnny Ray Huston.
Mm-hmm.
And that is at Alley Cat Bookstore and Gallery.
Oh, when does that open?
Get a load of this, okay?
Waiting.
Get ready.
I'm waiting
Buckle
for it.
Buckle in.
Uh-oh.
Opening reception with readings by Johnny Ray Huston and Erwin Swernoff on Friday, June 8th. Okay, that's tonight. And get this. You got Adam Ansel, Anthony Cianciolo, and Jerome Caja, Regina Clarkinia, Kiernan Kobarubia, Jaime Cortez, Samira Halperin,
one of
my mentors from grad school.
Yeah.
Malcolm Hamilton, Johnny Ray Huston, Jason Messier, Kate Rosenberger, Mohsen Shafi, Silky Shoemaker, Erwin Swernoff, Margaret Tedesco, and Michael Wirtz, and more.
Wow, how are they all going to fit in that space?
It's Pride Month, and the queer artists are out and proud.
They're out and out.
Yes.
Everyone should get out to see Layla Uifwe.
Uh-huh.
Uifwe's show over there at the Growlery. It's called Noise and Thirst.
Uh-huh. Great show.
Yeah, great show. Get out there to see it.
Might
I actually want to go back myself.
Might get a free zine if you play your cards right.
I hear have you been over to MSP recently to see any of the shows out there?
Yes.
Did you see
they
the
were
one
great.
At, did you see the one at Bass and Reiner with
was it like really cool? Then yes.
I think it was really cool.
I think
it
I peeped
cool.
it through the closed door. I was like, damn, that's a good looking show.
Hey, damn, that's a cool show. I went to an event this week where Angela Davis was.
Oh yeah.
And that was super fun. She's the best. It was the Middle East Children's Alliance, like 30th anniversary. And they had all these, well, primarily Angela Davis and then Ali Abu Nima, who's like the founder of this website called the Electronic Intifada.
Cool.
But Angela Davis is just fucking radical. I love her. And I don't care if anyone doesn't like her. I love her.
Yeah, she's an inspiration.
She's rad. And she was just sitting in the audience and just like there were moments that were where the other performers were like doing things that were hysterical or like were making you like there were some participatory moments. It's a very Berkeley kind of event in some ways
where you like breathe together.
No,
something.
No. Like singing and clapping and doing weird things. Uh-huh. And like I kept looking because she was probably like two people away from us uh-huh. across an aisle. And yeah. I kept looking over to see what she was like. Is Angela Davis was participating? She was totally doing it.
Oh my God, I love her.
I was like, wow, I love you even more. You're like amazing and you're not like too cool for school that you can just fucking participate too.
She's incredible.
Yeah.
It's cooler to participate anyway.
Yeah. I think so too. But I don't, you know, fault anyone for not participating if they're too uncomfortable doing that.
That's true. But unless they're doing it because they're too cool for school.
Yeah. Anyhow, that was very cool.
She's amazing.
She was great.
Let's play a little clip of her.
You know, the mainstream feminist movement has made serious, serious mistakes. You know, I often point out that when I wrote a book that was published in 1981 called Women, Race, and Class, everybody started referring to me as a feminist. And my response was, I'm not a feminist. You know, I'm a black revolutionary. Because I didn't see how the two had anything to do with each other. But I realized that I was talking about a certain kind of feminism, a bourgeois feminism, a feminism that is still, unfortunately, white bourgeois feminism, which is unfortunately the most represented feminism today, and most people think of that as feminism. But that ignores the fact that huge numbers of organic and academic intellectuals who are women of color have transformed the very nature of feminism. And the hallmark of feminism today is what we call intersectionality. A recognition of the, and not only the interrelating character of identities, but as I frequently say, I think intersectionality is most helpful when we think about the intersectionality of social justice struggles. The mistake made by mainstream feminism and its continued reliance on categorical representations of women. As soon as one assumes that women can be categorically represented, it means that there is some clandestine racialization happening there, right? And you hear the term glass ceiling feminism. I don't know whether you have that here. This is what Hillary Clinton represented, but glass ceiling feminism is represented, it's grounded from the very outset in hierarchies. I mean, how else does that metaphor work? Those who are already high enough to reach the ceiling are probably white, and then if they're not white, they are already affluent because they're at the top. All they have to do is push through the ceiling. And as long as I have identified as a feminist, it has been clear to me that any feminism that privileges those who already have privilege is bound to be irrelevant to poor women, working class women, women of color, trans women of color.
All right, Mason. We got some interviews coming to you. It's about to be our 4-year anniversary. Send us some fucking listener feedback to 419-351-6606. You can text or call that number. You could email us, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. You can tweet us at @PineTreePodcast. Or isn't there another way? You could leave a comment on our website, congratulationspinetree.com. We just got a notice from Google that they took off all the spam that people left in our comments, so it's nice and tidy for you.
Oh, really?
Did they say that or did I dream it? Anyhow, point is, thank you so much. I hope you're keeping your eyes on the road from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been
Congratulations Pine Tree.